This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Monday afternoon here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber here, solo for the week. As BT is down in Myrtle, we got a rainy Monday up here in the Northeast, but that won't stop us from going through all the things that we got to go through, and there's a lot to go through. Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC, their in-glass reporter, will join us at 4:20 Eastern, 1:20 Pacific to talk about Game 7, which is on Wednesday this week. Obviously, Game 6 last night. Was a great win for the Bruins, and it pushes to Game 7, which obviously there's nothing better than that. Al Harrington, former NBA player. Is he still with the Big 3? I don't know if he's still in the Big 3 or not, but he's going to join us in our 5 p.m., 2 p.m. Pacific hour to talk about the NBA Finals and Game 5, which is tonight. But we'll start with David Ortiz. David Ortiz, the troubling news coming out of Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, where he's from. He was shot down there. You just heard this in the update from Rich Ackerman, and I'm sure if you follow sports, you've seen these updates over the course of the day. And, you know, I just wanted to start and send our prayers. I met David one time back in 2007, and the first thing he said to me was, "You think I could play football?" Like, you can probably do whatever you want because he's a big boy. But his, our thoughts and prayers go out to David Ortiz as he is recovering from a single gunshot wound. There's still some conflicting reports about what went on down there in the Dominican Republic. One said there was a few people on a motorcycle that came by and shot him, but the video that Samther and I were just looking at, it was someone walking down the street that just came right up to him and shot him. It looked calculated, and it's troublesome. I was just reading a story that David Ortiz, back in 2015, had complained a little bit about the lack of security in his native country and how people who have things sometimes feel like they got to walk around scared that someone's going to kind of take what they have. So just wanted to start our show to say thoughts and prayers to David Ortiz. That's it's a tough situation to delve into, but I think he's going to be okay. We hope he's going to be okay, and the Boston Red Sox have done a good thing by sending a plane down to bring him back so he can continue his rehab up here. This weekend, we saw, actually this Friday, I should say, and we mulled it all over the weekend, Game 4 of the NBA Finals between the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. And I really wanted this to be a 2-2 series. I wanted Klay Thompson to come back and be somewhat of a hero, find a way to score all the points and lift this Golden State team. But it's become very clear right now that without Kevin Durant, the Golden State Warriors don't have a chance. And when you listen to some of the narratives about how the Toronto Raptors are doing this, it's frustrating. They basically say, we're not going to guard the guys who can't shoot. And unfortunately for the Golden State Warriors, that's a lot of them. Kevin Durant, obviously we know, can score any way he wants to. He has his spots he gets to. Steph Curry, he can score even though he was very inefficient, shooting 9 of 22 on Friday with his 27 points. But Steph Curry is an all-timer as it pertains to scoring. He revolutionized the way we look at and guard and think about the three-point shot in the NBA. But he's not Kevin Durant. And while I'll sit here and feel excited because there is a changing of the guard about to come, at least it feels like it's about to come. I mean, Kevin Durant could come back and save the Golden State Warriors. He is tentatively scheduled to play tonight, but who knows? He hasn't practiced more than, I think, one or two times. Who knows if he's actually going to be ready to go out there and give a KD-like performance to lift this Golden State Warriors team from a 3-1 deficit against the Toronto Raptors. But as I sit here and I think about the Raptors, I'm excited for them because this is their first championship, and the North is going to be exploding with enthusiasm and parties, and it's unprecedented. It just has never happened in the history of this franchise. They've gotten close, and we've talked many times on the show about the method in which Musa Ujiri crafted this team, whether it was Pascal Siakam or Fred VanVleet and their development in the G League, and obviously making the deal for Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green came along with that have been such a big part of this run for the Raptors. I can't help but feel like we're robbed. We're robbed of the opportunity to see the developing of a great rivalry, or at least a year of a great rivalry between two of the great players in the NBA right now. And I mean that obviously because Kevin Durant isn't playing. I love Steph. I really do. And this isn't a knock on his ability. But Steph is not that level of player that we look at when we look at Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. He is a star for sure, but he's not a dominant star who can take over and win a game by himself. Kawhi Leonard can do that. Kevin Durant can do that. There's few that can. LeBron James, in a sense, can do that. James Harden sometimes can do that. Russell Westbrook at times can do that. But Steph can't. KD could. And I'm going to champion this Toronto Raptors team should they win tonight. It's going to be awesome if they do it at home. But I'm going to sit back and feel like I got robbed of what could have been an epic all-time matchup between two of the best and still at their peak stars in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. And not that I'm going to diminish what the Toronto Raptors accomplished because KD didn't play or hasn't played in this series yet, but how can you not think about that when you go back and you look at this interruption, and especially if the Toronto Raptors lose Kawhi Leonard this offseason? It's just this is a one and done type situation. But how can you not 2 years from now or 3 years from now or however long from now go back and look at this series and think you got the best of it? Because you didn't. This isn't the Golden State Warriors team that we've grown to love and appreciate and watch over the last 5 years. It feels like a shell of that. And again, it's not from not trying. They are trying. We've lauded Steve Kerr and how amazing his rotations have been and his substitution patterns and getting the most out of DeMarcus Cousins, who hasn't played for 2 months, and finding ways to get Jarebko and Quinn Cook and all these guys on the court. Guys who, quite frankly, if they had to play as much as they were playing, it wouldn't be in the NBA Finals right now. And so I commend the Warriors for doing what they've done and what Steve Kerr has been able to do. But this is frustrating to me. And it's not because I want to see the Warriors win again. I know a lot of people will put it that way. And we've talked about this many times on our show about how I love seeing greatness and greatness evolve and develop. And the Golden State Warriors have done an amazing job from drafting to managing to growing to augmenting with free agency with Kevin Durant, of building something that is great and it feels like a dynasty. But at the same time, the Toronto Raptors have started to do the same thing, and they're going to win, but they're going to win in a way that doesn't feel like they pushed through the behemoth, right? They didn't push through the wall. That's the narrative. That's the narrative that we got coming into this series. It's David versus Goliath, but it's really not David versus Goliath. It's David versus a shell of Goliath. And I'll commend the Toronto Raptors, especially if they find a way to win this series tonight. But I feel like I'm robbed. What do you think? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Do you feel like you're robbed from this series because of the way that it's gone? And again, I'm not saying this is a knock on the guys on the court for the Golden State Warriors. I'm not. Because I love what Steph does. And I love what he's tried to do. And I love that he's put this all on his shoulder and he's trying to score in different ways. And instead of just hanging around the perimeter and shooting three-pointers all day, he's down in the paint and he's getting rebounds and he's trying to score, be creative and score. I love Klay Thompson's toughness. I mean, he limped around all game four, but he still scored 28 points. He was the leading scorer for the Golden State Warriors. He could barely run up and down the court. Obviously, it was a defensive liability, but I feel cheated.
I can't say it any other way. I think the Toronto Raptors are the better team right now, and they're going to win the NBA Finals. And interestingly, they might do it in five, which is nuts to think about. But I feel cheated because I didn't get a chance to see Kawhi Leonard at his best, lifting, I mean, truly lifting a team and a franchise and a city on the verge of getting their first ever NBA championship. He lifted it. It's an amazing story. Right, and nobody up there yet has a Kawhi Leonard jersey, but he's lifted this team to a championship. But he's doing against a very compromised Golden State Warriors squad without Kevin Durant. They, whether or not you want to put this all on KD's injury or not, they needed him. They needed a consistent scorer. They needed someone who was at a superstar level, and we didn't get it. I feel cheated. It's not going to take anything away from the Toronto Raptors, but I do feel like this isn't as enjoyable of a dethroning of the Kings of the, I should say the Warriors, but the Kings of the NBA as it could have and should have been. The interesting thing, though, as I do think back on this, and when this is all said and done, we went into an era about 6 or 7 years ago that was predicated on building a super team. It was all about the superstars of the NBA finding ways to get together with their buddies and let's go win the championship. Well, Musai Ujiri, and we talked about this before as well, kind of did it a different method. And it was building a team and bringing in a superstar, knowing full well that that superstar could leave you. Which brings us to the end, I think, of the super team era and maybe the beginning of a rent a team era. Let's explore whether or not we think teams will do this going forward, because I think it's interesting. The super teams versus the rent a teams. And do you want that in basketball? 1 year and done? Or do we want to build something sustainable and get a dynasty? If you're a team without a championship, I'm sure you'll take the rent a team. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, which many of you are hanging on right now. We'll get to you in just a moment. It's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I feel somewhat cheated because the Warriors can't put their best foot forward without Kevin Durant. I get it. We all want to see the Raptors and Kawhi because of the journey that they've been on and the failures in the Eastern Conference, whether it's the finals or the semifinals against the Warriors. I mean, against the Cavaliers and LeBron James. And they're here now, and it feels like Musai Ujiri just did it. But God, wouldn't it have been better? At least from an agnostic standpoint. That is, I don't care who wins or loses. If KD was in this series as well, let's get Rich, who's out in California. Rich, welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, welcome. Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate for having me. Tiki, huge fan here.
Thank you, man.
I love basketball, but not. I'm not a huge, I couldn't tell you much about all the teams out there, but
yep.
So
it's more players.
Sure,
for, it's
look
more.
What happened?
It's more players for you then, right? It's more players.
Oh no, of course. And I didn't follow Toronto this year. Mm-hmm. Hey, they're a great team. Kawhi Leonard. There's no words to describe the guy. He's a freak of nature.
Agreed.
But let's not forget, look what happened when Houston lost Chris Paul last year.
That's right.
And we ended up beating Houston. And, it is what it is. It happened. But Houston had their shot this year with the healthy Chris Paul and the loss of a Durant, of course.
Yeah.
Hey, they had their comeback. Win or lose tonight or the series, there's always next year. I'm just hoping there'll be a healthy Warrior team next year with healthy Durant on the roster.
Oh, so you think he's staying? So you think he's staying, huh, Rich?
I hope. I'm praying.
Yeah,
I'm praying.
That's it.
We're all big Durant fans here in the Bay Area. We all love Durant. We'd love to see him stay.
Yeah, I have a thought about why he should stay. I appreciate you, Rich, for calling us here. I have a thought about why I think KD. That's a lot of thinks and thoughts and everything. But I have a thought about why I think KD might actually stay in the West. In the Golden State, well, obviously with the Golden State Warriors, next season, kind of predicated on what happens throughout the rest of this series and what Kawhi Leonard ultimately decides to do. Let's get Greg, who is in Reno on 94.1 FM. Greg, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. Greg, you there? I think we lost Greg. Let's get to Lou, who is up in Utica, New York. Lou, welcome to Tiki and Tierney, man.
Hey, thank you. You know, I got a little different take on the, you used the term robbery as far as KD's injury.
Yep.
I really thought the robbery took place when KD decided to go ring hunting and went to the Warriors. I think he robbed himself, first of all. Yeah. I think he would have been much wiser to go to another team, not the greatest team, you know, in the past decades.
Yeah.
So, you know, find a, you
but
know.
But do you fault him? Do you fault him, Lou?
Oh, absolutely, big time. I think, you know, he should have found it, you know, maybe a team with, a, you know, maybe a top 20, top 30 player like LeBron did with Wade. And and then if he won some rings, they really would have been his. And I fault, I think the Warriors robbed themselves, too. I think they had, I love Steve Kerr. I think he's the best coach by far in the game, better than, you know, I'm a big Spurs fan. I think he's a better coach than Popovich right now.
Well, I mean, Popovich.
I think he robbed himself, and he robbed the Warrior team of the great championship team that they created. He just made it kind of a fire springing in KD to that number one team. And I think they robbed the fans of basketball, number one, and by making it kind of a joke, the game kind of a joke when they just
the way they dominated.
Super team.
Yeah, the
so
way they.
I think the robbery was all in their area, and I think they all made a huge mistake and, you know, harmed themselves, belittled themselves. People, KD, Kerr, Steph, guys I really appreciate and think are the greatest, I think they all hurt themselves.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. Look, appreciate your call, Lou. But, you know, it's interesting when you think about the Warriors because, like, we know why KD went there. Kevin Durant was tired of working so damn hard with Russell Westbrook to try to win. I mean, forget win a championship, but just win. And they got very close, and then they never kind of just kept falling off the rails, in particular when they were up 3-1 against the Warriors in the year before he went over there. The frustration just he'd had enough with it. He didn't want to work that hard. And by coming to the Golden State Warriors, he knew that he didn't have to do it all himself. But it's interesting because he ultimately became kind of that workhorse for the Golden State Warriors. And they came to depend on him a lot more than I think they probably wanted to admit. And so when he fell apart or fell away against a really good team like the Raptors, it's hard to replicate the scoring, the void that he created. And that's what we're seeing now. It was easier against the Rockets because the Rockets, they knew how to play the Rockets. They knew how to beat the Rockets. So even without him, they could get away with it. But against the Raptors, it's a different story, which, you know, brings me back to the Raptors and this idea of how they were built. I think I did this last week or so, just thinking about the journey that Musai Ujiri took this team on. Now, we knew their failures, always losing to the Cavaliers and LeBron, and the hard decision that he had to make getting rid of DeMar DeRozan and bringing in Kawhi Leonard, who was first of all, we've forgotten he was hurt, right? He didn't play an entire season. And we didn't know what his mentality was because he never spoke. We didn't know how much he wanted to be in Toronto because he kind of didn't really ever address it. Danny Green came with him, and that was a big part of the build that Musai Ujiri had decided on. Trade a really good player for a great player. Trade a really good coach. I mean, have borderline great coach because Casey won the coach of the year last year, and then you fire him and you bring in his assistant and Nick Nurse. So it was a coordinated way in which he was doing this, but he did it without certainty that it was going to be sustainable, mainly because Kawhi Leonard could leave right after this year because he's a free agent. And so he wasn't in the mindset of building a super team. Like, we're going to build this, like kind of like the Golden State Warriors. I know people have compared what the Raptors have done to what the Golden State Warriors did, but it's different because the Warriors did this and signed a free agent in KD who was going to be there for some time, at least had the assurance that he was going to be there for some time, even though he did have some outs in his contract. And they were building a dynasty. But the Raptors and Musai Ujiri weren't building a dynasty. They weren't trying to build a dynasty because how can you build a dynasty when your best player could leave in a year?
He was renting a dynasty or renting a mini one and saying, I'm going to try to win a championship. And if we get the ring, fantastic. Awesome. I will have reached the pinnacle. If we don't, you know, we made it. We took a shot at it. And as I think about the model in the NBA and all of the free agents that are available this offseason, the 5Ks that we always talk about, and you throw in, and I tried to do this, a few potential trade assets that could come available. And I'm going to list four of them. And they may sound off the wall, but give me a second. Obviously, Anthony Davis is going to be traded by the Pelicans. We heard this month ago, maybe a little less than a month ago, that the Houston Rockets were open to trading everybody. So I'm going to tentatively put James Harden as a potential trade asset. And I'm using these names specifically because in order for this to work for another team, say the Boston Celtics or whoever it may be, the Blazers, it has to be a team that's close to winning. And they have to have the ability to trade. Obviously, Kawhi's a free agent. KD's a free agent. So that's a different hustle for some of these teams as they go after Kawhi and KD. But Paul George could be on the trade block. Think of this about this if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder. You just got swept out of the first. No, they won a game. I think they won a game. So they lost in five in the first round of the NBA playoffs with a guy who averages a triple-double and has done so for the last 3 years in Russell Westbrook, and the number likely three runner-up in the MVP this year in Paul George. And you didn't even have a shot. And you can't go anywhere else because you're in cap hell. So unless you're going to really spend over the luxury tax, you're stuck if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder. Doesn't it make sense to maybe kind of start this thing over, get rid of one of these guys and get some younger assets, less expensive assets? So I'm putting Paul George, even though I haven't heard this anywhere, on the trade block for the Oklahoma City Thunder, because what they have currently constructed is not going to work, especially as the West gets stronger. And then obviously we talk about LeBron James, who, even though he's a little bit older now, and he's still in his prime, even maybe on the back end of it, but he's still in his prime. There's some serious skill superstar athletes that are available to do what KD has done for the Toronto Raptors. And if you are, I'm trying to think of these teams, the Dallas Mavericks, who have built up some really young, good talent. And Kristaps Porzingis, so they traded. Hopefully he's healthy. Luka Doncic. Minnesota's in this conversation as well. The Blazers, as I mentioned. The Celtics. Does it make sense to stop thinking about building this deep, you know, long, you know, 4 or 5 year dynasty and just say, let's go win a championship? Because nothing is guaranteed, especially with the freedom that a lot of these players have. Look, when KD or Kawhi signs his deal, we don't know if they're going to do more than a 2 year deal. We have no idea. But if you know the guy's not going to stay there for a long time, doesn't it make sense to just go get him for a year or two and try to win a championship? That's what the Toronto Raptors did. Who knows what Kawhi is going to decide after this year is over. But if you're Usai Ujiri, the rent-a-star, the rent-a-championship is so much more satisfying, especially as they sit here up 3-1 against the defending champions and the Warriors and one win away. And to do it back at the Scotiabank Center as well. One game away from winning a championship. And it all plays out. I think the reason that we don't talk about it this way is because the success hasn't happened this way. We've had to build the dynasty championships when LeBron tried to do that in Miami. LeBron tried to do it again back in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving. We've seen it with the Golden State Warriors. They did it mostly organically, but then they bring in KD for the last two. We've seen the build a dynasty championship. Is it about time that some of these teams start looking at the Toronto Raptors model, rent a team, rent a championship, and say that's the way to go? Because we can't control these guys anyways. Let's use them and then let them go about their merry way if they don't want to stay. I'm interested. I think Kawhi might stay. Again, it's tied to this conversation or this thought that I have about KD and maybe the rebirth of rivalries in the NBA, which we don't see anymore because it's so one player specific.
I think we might be onto something, but we'll get to that later in the show. Before we get to that, we're going to do inbounds and out of bounds. We're going to talk to Pierre McGuire and also Al Harrington. But let's get an update from Richard Ackerman. We'll come back on the other side.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet us your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when I'll answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Inbounds and out of bounds coming up in just a second. According to multiple reports, Kevin Durant plans to play tonight in Game 5 of the NBA Finals as the Warriors are looking to stave off elimination. I hope he does, and I hope Kevin Durant is the Kevin Durant that we've grown to love or hate, whatever, but as good as he is, I hope that he plays, he lifts this team, and he makes this a series. I'm just not optimistic about it. Not that he's going to be in shape, not that he's not going to be in shape after missing 9 games. I believe it's been 9 games that he's missed. But you just, I don't know, when you have a lower body extremity like that, you're always thinking about it. It's not like it's a part of his physical structure that you're not going to notice. If it was your ribs, I remember doing this when I was playing football. I broke like a bone in my hand or my wrist. And it hurt, but it wasn't functional, you know what I mean? It was just kind of there. I could carry the ball in my other hand. Your calf, every time you jump, it's every time you land, every time you cut, you're going to feel it. And it's going to be interesting to see how he's handled, especially because of the reports that we heard over the weekend. He didn't look great in practice. But I hope that he does get out and play. I hope he lifts his Golden State Warriors team, because I'd like to see a series. I don't want this thing over. And 5. Now, back to the conversation that we were having about rent the team. Samter brought up something really interesting in the break, and he's right. A lot of the teams, Toronto, I'm not saying Toronto's not a destination, so don't get on me, Toronto fans. But some of these teams that we talk about, whether it's Milwaukee or I'm trying to think of another one, like Orlando, they're not destination cities, meaning the franchise isn't iconic. They've won and have a long history of championship tenor, and guys want to go there, and they want to be a part of the legacy, the lore of that franchise. And it just is what it is. There's only a handful of them anyways in the NBA, really any sport, but we're talking specifically here about the NBA. And so as a result, you kind of have to manufacture, right, the enthusiasm, or manufacture the reason to come there if you're a superstar. And this is what GMs, really good GMs, are good at doing. And then on top of that, you got to have a great draft philosophy, because it's not just one guy. The NBA, unlike a lot of, if not most sports, is a strong link dominant sport. And what I mean by that, think about soccer. And I always bring up soccer, but I'm not going to get deep into it now. But think about soccer. It's a weak link sport. So if your weak link is bad, it doesn't matter how good your strong links are, because it takes 4 or 5 passes to get the ball to Ronaldo. But if that second pass is your weakest link and it's a horrible pass, it's never going to get to Ronaldo, right? So it's a weak link. You have to have your strong weak links. Otherwise, your strongest link doesn't matter. Basketball is the opposite. If you have a really strong link, your strongest link can easily mitigate your weakest links. If you have a guy who can't shoot or is slow, you can mitigate that when your superstar can score 45 points or assist 15 or 20 times in a game. Not that you have many 20-game assist games, but you know what I mean. When you have a strong link sport like basketball, so much of it depends on getting that superstar. That's why we see all of these championships over the last decade have been won by teams with at least one major superstar. It doesn't happen otherwise. In football, you can get away with it, but it's rare. Look at Tom Brady. Why is he dominant? Because he's the weakest links are always lifted at least to the median, right? They're always like average
take a guy, he leaves that squad, he's less than average. But on the Patriots, for whatever reason, the weak link isn't always the weak link. So I think this is, it's interesting how NBA executives are going to start looking at a lot of different things in free agency and the trade market. And if I can get a guy, even if it's not for 4 years, if I can get a guy and we drafted well, we developed well, he can lift us like the Toronto Raptors have had Kawhi Leonard lift them to another level. Why not take that shot? 855-212-4227. Do you want to see that happen? I think it's going to happen because not every place in the NBA is a destination that free agents, the big-time free agents, or whoever, Zion Williamson, does he want to go to New Orleans? Reports say he doesn't. Who knows what's going to happen down there? New Orleans and David Griffin have to be really smart about it. But not every destination is the right destination for every player. Sam, are you ready for Inbounds Out of Bounds? Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki. So trade rumors are a part of professional sports. We've been talking about players moving from place to place. But they took a mind. They took on a mind of their own this season for the Lakers, as it seemed like virtually every player other than LeBron was on the trade block. Veteran point guard Rajon Rondo detailed how the talks impacted the team, telling our friend Rick Bucher at Bleacher Report, quote, "Every guy in our team, LeBron was their favorite player growing up. Everyone had his shoes, his jersey. And then you get there and it's like the person you looked up to and idolized doesn't want you. Guys aren't at the age where they can have man-to-man conversations versus texting you anymore. People don't understand how to talk out problems," end quote. Inbounds, out of bounds. Considering the sensitivity of today's athletes, teams should handle trade discussions differently.
This is easily inbounds. It would be naive to just say, you're a professional athlete now. I know you're only 19 or 20 or 21, but you're a professional athlete now. Deal with it. It's a business. All right, that's become a cliche that I used to like, and I don't really like it anymore. It's a business, because relationships and the personalities of players on your team are so important. Now, you have a great player on your squad, but if his mind isn't right or he's elsewhere, you're not going to win, and he's not going to be a great teammate. So I think you have to handle trade negotiations differently. And if it is going to be leaked out into the public, you better have a conversation with one of these young guys about what actually is going on and why it's good for him, why it's good for the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can't just let these things fester and take on a mind of their own. It's interesting that Rajon Rondo admits that this was the case, because this felt like the case. Everybody loved LeBron. How could you not? He's the man. And all of a sudden, he's like, I don't want you guys here anymore. And now you get, and then it doesn't happen. You got to go back and play with him. It's impossible, especially if you're not talking, if you're just texting, you know, sending Twitter subtext and all kinds of nonsense. And if you're, I don't know, Kyle Kuzma, are you calling up LeBron and being like, hey, bro, can I come over and, you know, have a drink and talk this out? No, you send him a text message and he's like, we'll be good. I'll hit you up at practice. And it never gets resolved. Right? I definitely inbound stamped there, definitely, especially because we're getting to the point where the superstars are significantly older than these young guys coming in, and the millennial generation is not maxing or mixing well with the older generation.
Are you in or are you out?
Yesterday afternoon, Dodger slugger Max Muncy smashed a solo home run off Madison Bumgarner, the only run in a 1-0 Los Angeles win. However, after the blast, Muncy watched the ball a little bit too long for Mad Bum's liking.
I did not think he watched it a little bit too long. I really didn't. I know that it looked like he didn't. Go ahead.
It seems like Mad Bum, he's an old school guy.
This is all Mad Bum.
And he gets very sensitive about this. But the Giants ace got irate and needed to be held back while Muncy slowly rounded the bases as they jawed back and forth with each other. After the game, Mad Bum said, quote, "They want to let everybody be themselves, then let me be myself. That's me. You do your thing, I'll do mine." Muncy, however, was a little bit less political with his answer, telling this to Sportsnet LA.
You know, I hit the ball, and then he yelled at me. He said, "Don't watch the ball, you run." And I just responded back, you know, if you don't want me to watch the ball, you can go get it out of the ocean.
Ouch. Inbounds, out of bounds. Hitters should be allowed to act however they want at the plate as long as pitchers are given that same latitude.
Oh, that is awesome. That is, I mean, I like Mad Bum, but I think he's, look, you got rocked. The ball, I mean, not, it didn't just barely get into McCovey Cove. I mean, that thing splashed, you know, 30 feet into McCovey Cove. I mean, you just got crushed. Like maybe he's upset. Inbounds here. Yes, hitters should be allowed to act however they want, whether it's the bat flips or the slow trots or whatever. Look, you don't want them to do it. Don't give up a home run. Don't leave one out over the plate. Look at this thing. That thing is deep. He was running. He's just running slowly. I love Mad Bum, though. I love the attitude in baseball. Too bad Mad Bum didn't get another opportunity to, like, I don't know, do something that would have. Because he hits home runs himself, get to the plate and crush one himself, and then, like, moonwalk around the bases.
Are you in or are you out?
The Santa Anita Racetrack has been under fire lately with a string of horse deaths on the track. The famous California track closed back in March after 21 horses died in just over 3 months.
By the way, how are the horses dying? Are they breaking down on the track? Is that what it is?
Some have. There's been a couple heart attacks. So, I don't know if you can necessarily attribute that.
Yeah. Okay.
And we also don't necessarily know all the stats from other racetracks. Mm-hmm. We just know that this has been insane.
You're right.
21 horses died from December to March. And it closed after that period of time, but then reopened just a few weeks later. After reopening, 6 more horses died before this weekend's 3-week-long meet. Now, another horse died again on Saturday, and one horse died on Sunday, bringing the total down to 29 horse deaths since December at the Santa Anita Racetrack. Despite the issue, the track refused to close for the rest of the meet, which ends June 23rd, and the racing board doesn't have the authority to suspend the races without the track's approval. Finally, the track is also set to hold the famous Breeders' Cup World Championship in November, which brings the best horses around the world with crowds over 100,000 people for the 2-day event. In or out, for the good of the sport, Santa Anita must be forced to close for at least 1 year.
I'm going to say inbounds to this, Samter, and not knowing a lot about horse racing, but knowing that this is a bad story. It's a bad narrative, and I've heard it many, many times already. And the fact that it's continued, I thought they had closed. The fact that they hadn't. Is troubling, and then you don't want to do. Let's just wait and see, and let's just wait and see if we get through the Breeders' Cup without any incident before you ultimately, pull the plug at least for a year here to investigate. Not to say that they've done anything wrong, but what the heck is going on? Inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Last one. We don't often talk about professional lacrosse on the show, but this weekend on NBC, the Premier Lacrosse League added a new wrinkle to their broadcast that could potentially change the face of sports forever. After Atlas star Kieran McArdle scored a goal, the announcers in the booth interviewed McArdle on the field right after the goal before the ensuing face-off, using an earpiece and mic built into his helmet. So literally, you're watching this guy standing on the field as they're getting ready to face off, doing an interview live.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Inbounds, out of bounds. Other sports should adopt this technique and interview players on the field right after big plays.
I'm going to say inbounds. The problem you run into, though, is it too much access for more complicated sports like football, right? Are you going to hear too much? Or will the announcers be privy to too much, which, you know, could be a competitive advantage one way or another? Because it's all digital. It's all over the air. It's all, you know, frequencies that you can pick up. But that is pretty cool. My buddy Paul Rabel started this league, and so I gotta try to get him on because that's awesome. But for a sport that's trying to gain professional traction, lacrosse has a great college and high school following, and my Cavaliers from the University of Virginia won the national championship this year. Just saying, also in basketball, I think this is great. It's great for lacrosse, and if they can find a way to do this, like shut it off at some point, but give that kind of access in football or baseball or probably not basketball because you don't have the equipment, I think that would be awesome. Inbounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Roger Federer, greatest champion in tennis. Maybe the greatest champion in all of sport. But when he gets on clay, he gets his butt waxed. by Rafael Nadal. Let's explore that for a minute. 12 French Open titles for Rafael Nadal. We'll hit that, Pierre Maguire, and much more in our second hour of Tiki and Tierney on this Monday afternoon. CBS Sports Radio.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.